Please be seated. It begins in a garden. Gardens are popular images in Scripture, and we do see references to plantings, to farms, to gardens. If you look at our cover, you will see pictures from this past summer in Milwaukee, the youth mission trip. And we worked in community gardens. There were some of our work was there. Our group was in two small groups. Mine, by the plan, worked in one community garden with its own history, two mornings of the week. And the other group worked in another community garden. And then through, I'm going to say Providence, one day we all got to work together in that one garden. Now, one was deeply connected with a church. And I could do a whole program on how that church operated, how they had re-envisioned themselves in their neighborhood. And the community garden was part of a larger program that they were doing. The other one has its own history. 50 years it's been a community garden at this spot. There is a church connection, but it's different. That's the best way to summarize it here. But I thought it was very interesting that both gardens had a faith connection. Because Scripture, part of the opening chapters in Genesis, we're in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And if you go to the end of Scripture in Revelation, you're in a city, the New Jerusalem, and there is a type of a garden there. And I want the pastor to point out, you know, it begins and it ends in a garden. Garden in a kind of a larger, wild, in a good sense, wild place. And there later in a city, but still a garden. That is part of the story. And again, the nurture that goes with all of that. Also, we see from our reading, in this larger reading in Genesis, decided to be nice on the elders and only gave them a few verses. We see that the gospel begins before the manger. This gospel begins before the cross. The gospel begins with a God who speaks light into darkness and pursues humanity with grace, even after the fall. In the beginning, God speaks order into chaos. That is the section that we have read from Genesis. He speaks, God speaks, and creation begins step by step. All is good. Creation begins good. And God rests. Rest is good. And then the man, the woman are given a work to do. And then they're given a temptation. You can be like God, the oldest temptation that's in the book. Some would say that all of our troubles go back to that. And then there is a fall. And they are cast from the garden, but God still provides, gives them work to do, and a mission to fulfill. John is also, the Gospel of John also starts with the beginning. The word is not just a sound here. In this case, the word is a person. It's Jesus Christ, the eternal word, the Logos. We exist by God's creative word for his glory. God spoke and the world was created. And before God spoke, there was the word. There's a reason that John roots his Christmas story in eternity. God spoke, we were created. God spoke, a garden began. You can draw this point from that your life is not an accident. God created with a plan, with intention. And God created us to reflect divine glory. And then we see that the light shines in the darkness. That's what it states in John's gospel. We see that God enters into our own broken stories. Genesis 3, that's what we have and all that follows. We have the fall. There, we've had a greatly a wonderful, perfect order has been created, but now there is disorder. There is spiritual darkness over the world. But even in judgment, God promises a redeemer. Genesis 3, he talks about there will be a redeemer. So yes, there's a fall and there will be consequences. But this is not the final word. A good reminder, the fall is not the final word. In John's gospel, we're told the light has not ever stopped shining, and darkness has not overcome it. The story of salvation begins with a God who pursues fallen people. Keep that in mind. God spoke with Adam and Eve as the story is told to us. It's kind of like, what have you been doing? And of course, I know what you have been doing. I think back years ago. Okay, I love maraschino cherries. And I remember at a family gathering that this nice casserole dish had been set out with curried fruit. Don't you just love curried fruit? I love curried fruit. How about that? Okay. And in each, and it was nicely arranged. There was a pear and then a peach, one after the other. And in that little pitted space was a maraschino cherry. And it was all laid out in the breakfast room where people could serve themselves. Well, people are getting things ready. And I, some of you already figured out where this is going. I go back there, and I take every maraschino cherry off the top. Nobody's going to see me. Who's going to know? And then when it was asked, who got all these maraschino cherries? How'd they figure that one out? So God goes to speak. It's a little more serious in this case here, but when God goes to speak with them, God knows. But God seeks to speak to them, not just, hey, I know what they did, zap. No, this is the kind of God who pursues in relationship. We're not a people who have to earn our way back. We don't have to fix ourselves before coming to God. Keep that in mind. You don't have to fix yourself to come to God. God comes to you first. And hopefully the fixing will follow. But God comes to you first. God's doing that today. Our Lord came to his own, we're told in John's gospel, and the Word became flesh. Throughout this larger section in the first chapter of John, we're told that though creation was through the world did not recognize God. And yet to all who received Christ, God gave the right to become children of God. This speaks about discipleship. Being formed in God's image means we are restored in Christ to live with purpose and with mission. Reading these verses is an invitation to receive him yet again. Let his light restore what is broken, has been broken in your story. And if you have not received an invitation to do so, for those who know Christ, an invitation to renew, to go into the week, to go into the new school year with that renewed sense of purpose. Do you see your life as part of God's greater story? From creation through the fall to redemption. Seeing your life, seeing our lives as a community, seeing this church's life as part of a larger, greater story. Yes, we need to acknowledge there is sin, there is brokenness. Just open the newspaper for those who still read newspapers. Just go online to see the latest news. It's obvious there's brokenness in our world, and we see brokenness in our lives. We can receive the grace that was there from the beginning offered in Christ. And from that we can see ourselves created with a purpose, with a story to fulfill. I've shared before about several actors, actresses who created memorable roles. And interviewing these actresses and actors, common thread was this: I created the backstory for my character. These were actually not main characters of the sitcom or of the drama. It was a they were very strong support characters. This one woman said, I wrote an 8-page autobiography of my character. What was my mother like? What was my father like? She determined that her character was an only child and the center of a universe, which explained a lot of the actions in the TV show. And what had led my character to marry the man that she married? And because, I think in part because they knew their character's story so well, they created characters that stood out. Know your story. Your story is part of a bigger story as well. In this, we can respond with faith, saying, Lord, begin again in me. This Sunday and the Sundays that follow, we'll be doing a speed through in Scripture, looking at the larger story of God's relationship with God's people. And it's good, it's important. We need to know the full story of Scripture and remember how it connects with you and see your story in light of this larger story. Our Lord is the Lord who was the Word that brought light from darkness. And we can ask God to shine in us again. We can ask, Lord, where our lives are broken, bring your grace. We can always ask, Lord, where we have strayed, Lord, please bring us home. Lord, remind us that we are part of your story, created, redeemed, and called. That is what God has created us to be. As we launch into this new phase of the year, let us keep those truths in mind. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and let us affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.